And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in the late 20th century, there were quite a few battles fought within American denominations over the use of militaristic imagery in Christian hymns. I hope you note the irony here of battles being fought over. Well, anyway, hopefully you see that. Some sought to strike hymns like Onward Christian Soldiers and Soldiers of Christ Arise from their hymnals. On the one hand, I can understand this to a degree because many wars were fought in the last century. But on the other hand, the reason why we have such imagery in our hymns is because it is derived from Holy Scripture. And as we will see, rightly understood, these hymns do not teach a theology of conquest through literal weaponry against other people. I would assert that we should not forsake battle imagery in our hymns and worship. Rather, we should seek to understand it in its proper context. Our epistle lesson for today will go a long way in such an endeavor. Here we have St. Paul, who was actually imprisoned when he wrote this letter, describing an important aspect of the Christian life using imagery derived from the armor of a Roman soldier. Many throughout the years have speculated that the apostle was inspired by his continual encounters with soldiers during his imprisonment. But it should also be noted that such imagery was also quite prominent in the Old Testament. So let us explore this theme by first grasping the truth that the Christian life is a spiritual battleground. This comes through in our lesson, as St. Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the assaults of the devil and his cohorts. There are several important truths here. First, we learn that the devil is antagonistic towards us. He would like nothing more than to defeat us by leading us down the path of destruction. St. Peter warns us in this regard when he writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." In the background of this, we recall the stories of our first parents in the garden being led astray by the devil. And we recall Satan coming to encounter Jesus in the wilderness, trying to encourage him to rebel against God as well. This same antagonist is against us, in one sense, because of our association with Jesus. We should expect and prepare for temptation because we know it is coming. Another truth that we learn here is that the battle we are engaged in is spiritual in nature. The apostle tells us in our text, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." If this sounds ominous to you, then good. It should. If we were left to our own devices in this spiritual battle, we would be doomed. But we are not. We'll come back to that momentarily. Now, none of this should come as a surprise to us if we've actually read the Bible. The church even tries to prepare us for this at our baptism. In our baptismal office, we pray before the baptism that the child or person would have power and strength to have victory and to triumph against the devil, the world, and the flesh. And then immediately after the baptism, when the minister signs the person with the cross on their forehead, he prays that hereafter he or she shall not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified and manfully to fight under his banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and to continue Christ's faithful soldier and servant unto his life's end. This almost sounds like a military enlistment ceremony, doesn't it? It should, because that's exactly what it is. Being baptized into the church coincides with being enlisted into Christ's army. But remember, we're not going out to conquer the world by military might. We're going out to engage in a spiritual battle, employing spiritual weapons. And this battle will last until our life's end. There's no tapping out. There's no allowance for letting our guard down, and there certainly is no room for desertion. Second, we're also reminded in this lesson that Christ has given us all that we need for this battle. In fact, what we might say is that Christ gives us himself, which is more than ample to fight and win the battle. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah envisioned the Messiah coming as a great warrior. He writes of him, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Here we see the Messiah pictured as a great warrior coming to rescue his people. And we should not gloss over the fact that Jesus was in fact named after Israel's greatest warrior, Joshua. The Son of God himself came among us and engaged in hand-to-hand battle with the devil and defeated him. And having won the battle, he now equips his people to follow him in the victory. He grants to us the whole armor of God. Our hymnody picks up on the Greek word here sometimes and calls it the panoply of God. Nothing is withheld from us. We're granted armor from head to toe. The entire armory of God is opened to us in Christ. The fact that Christ equips us and is with us in the battle is crucial. Martin Luther echoes this very truth in his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." There we sing, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing." You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Note once again that if we were left to our own strength, we would be outmatched. But with Christ on our side and armed with his armor, we cannot lose. The victory is assured through him. Third and finally, we're taught in our lesson that we must lay hold of and employ the armor that is granted to us in Christ. He commands us throughout the text to put on the whole armor of God, to take unto you the whole armor of God. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And he goes on to say, "Take the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit." And then finally, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Do you see that we are called to active engagement here? Christ opens the whole armory to us, as it were, but we must lay hold of and employ his armory and weaponry. The Christian life is anything but inactive. We're called to be soldiers on duty, shall we say, constant, active duty. Erasmus, the great humanist of the 16th century, wrote a work entitled The Handbook of the Militant Christian. And I've never forgotten one of the opening lines where he admonishes Christians, saying, "We must be constantly aware of the fact that life here below is best described as being a type of continual warfare. Yet in this matter, the great majority of mankind is often deceived, for the world, like some deceitful magician, captivates their minds with seductive blandishments. And as a result," listen carefully, "most individuals behave as if there had been a cessation of hostilities." I'm here to remind you this morning that there will not be a cessation of hostilities until you breathe your last breath. Beloved, today we're reminded that the Christian life is, in fact, a spiritual battleground. But thanks be to God, we're not alone. Christ is with us, and he has opened his entire armory to us. And we stand together in this battle. The church is God's army, and it cannot be defeated. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What we need is for the Lord to teach us to battle. We need to read the Gospels again and emulate our Lord and his activities. And perhaps we need to pray with the psalmist that God would teach our hands to make spiritual war so that our arms can bend a bow of bronze. I leave you with the words of Charles Wesley as an admonition. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive.